Sunday, 7th of April, 2024. Maybe today. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. Acts 26:22. More literally, the words read, having obtained, therefore, help from God unto this day, I have stood, witnessing to small and great, saying nothing except what both the prophets and Moses spoke is coming to be. CG. Paul just noted that talking about what the Lord expects is the reason why the Jews seized him and tried to kill him. Now he explains why he has been rescued from this, saying, having obtained, therefore, help from God unto this day. Despite the Jews trying to kill him, he has been rescued from them because God has been on his side. If this is so, then it means, by default, that God has not been on the side of the Jews. They had wronged him, but more, they were conducting their lives wrongly before God. As for the word translated as help, it is epikoria. It is found only here in Scripture. It gives the idea of external help, but of one of greater ability or power to one of lesser ability or power. In this case, it is divine assistance being from God. Paul says that because of this external help, I have stood. This isn't speaking of his standing in the court, but of his ability to continue with the task to which he was called. It is the same metaphor he uses numerous times elsewhere, such as, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Ephesians 6:11-13. Paul was firm and unwavering in his proclamation, standing because God was with him, and as he says, witnessing to both small and great. These words show that Paul saw no distinction in any man after receiving his commission to Christ, and therefore to him now there were no Jew, Gentile, king, servant, male, female, wealthy or poor, or any other distinction that would preclude him from sharing the gospel. Barnes states it this way, quote, he passed by none because they were poor, and he was not deterred by the fear of the rich and the great from making known their sins and calling them to repentance. What an admirable illustration of the proper duties of a minister of the gospel, end quote. As for his witnessing, he next notes that he was saying nothing except what both the prophets and Moses spoke is coming to be. This final clause shows Paul's understanding that the doctrine of the Messiah was fully testified to in the Old Testament. Christ's life, work, atoning death, etc. were all carefully detailed, starting from Moses and continuing through the prophets. All of what Christ would come and do was carefully laid out in their writings. As such, Paul was simply testifying to what those written witnesses testified to. He used their own words for the message he proclaimed. All that Christ was set to do and all that he did was spoken of in advance. Because of this, Paul's testimony was not his at all, but God's. He was speaking as God's ambassador, something he explicitly states in his own writings, such as, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. Life application. If you are speaking accurately concerning the faith as it is recorded in Scripture, how can you not be bold in your proclamation? if you really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and if you are conveying the message of the Bible properly, you are simply explaining what God has already proclaimed. So why should you be distressed, peevish, concerned, etc. about what you are saying? If someone takes offense at your words, they are taking offense at God's word. There is no need to be belligerent in your approach, but there is also no shame in being imprisoned for your stand. God is right here with us. Therefore, He is right there with you in such an instance. Just be sure that what you are saying is properly stated and in accord with His intent. And the only way to know that is not to listen to your preacher or teacher, accepting his words at face value. Rather, you must know the word well enough to accept or dismiss what you are being taught. Otherwise, you are not really proclaiming the truth of God's word. In other words, read and know your Bible. Glorious Lord God, people in many churches are taught erroneous doctrine, but they accept what they hear without checking. That is a sad testimony to their time in church. It is also a sad testimony to their willingness to know you properly. May we not be led astray in such ways. Rather, may we be willing to check what we are taught and hold fast only to that which matches what your word states. Help us in this, O God. Amen.
But God helped me and is still helping me today. With God's help, I'm standing here today and telling all people what I have seen. But I am saying nothing new. I am saying what Moses and the prophets said would happen.
Acts 26, verse 22.